Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for March 7th, 2015, and it's my great pleasure to have a guest on today who is a veteran traveler into the mysteries of cosmic love. Joseph Mark Cohen has done some phenomenal work decoding the sacred geometry in crop circles and at sacred sites worldwide, where he has led many tours over the years. Thank you, Joseph, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
My pleasure, Rudy.
Joseph, I'd like to begin talking about your amazing research into crop circles, because I've had two filmmakers of crop circles on Cosmic Love over the years, and I'm fascinated with this subject. So where did you get into the crop circle phenomena?
Oh, it was mid-90s, and then there was a season in 97 where there were a number of majestic, Kabbalistic crop circles based on Tree of Life, dimensional ones. And then I went over to Britain to catch a Flower of Life workshop with Drinvalo.
Wow.
And went off exploring, and there was I was in with a lady friend in a fabulous circle right next to Avebury, and I'm not sure it was that year, but I was in the very first heptagonal, seven-sided crop circle, and it was extraordinary.
Wow.
So it's in the deck, number seven. You'll find it.
Yeah, you've got this amazing crop circle oracle deck of cards. There's 52 cards, then you have an oracle cards, and you've got some of the most beautiful crop circle color pictures on those cards I have ever seen. And I've been going through those, and I'm amazed at the stories behind a lot of these cards, which you have on the back of the cards. And, I mean, it's just like, to me, this is like better than any crop circle calendar or anything I've seen on crop circles. And they're beautiful, beautifully done, and I'm just fascinated with the story behind a lot of them. What personally has been your most exciting revelations with discoveries with the crop circles?
Well, you know, if you can call an energetic experience a revelation, I mean, there's been a number of times that I've been in crop circles where you just feel like you're walking into another dimension, Rudy.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal feeling. And you're walking into a dimension in spiritual tribe, too, because you're meeting people from around the world, all of whom have been pulled in by this fifth dimensional and higher magnet. And particularly if you're in a circle within a day, or you're the first people in the circle, the energy is so strong and clear and fun. I had an experience once where I was a couple of hours in a circle playing with a little kid, and I do children's camps every now and again, and you know, I'm a grandfather now, and it was a magical, just a total beautiful synastry, you know, a connection. She had the same birthday. She felt like she owned the circle. She was obviously a star kid.
Uh-huh.
And about an hour after playing with her in the circle, where she brought her stuffed little unicorn and her dog named Sirius and whatever, all of a sudden, her mom shows up, and I said, well, has she been in these circles before? And she looked at me, you know, in that British way down through glasses and said, of course, she was here before she was born, meaning that when she was in the womb, before incarnation, she probably was an Arcturian coming in, you know, and those circles are at home. So that was just one of my favorite meetings with people, but I've made lifelong friends in crop circles. It's just a vibrational connection. You meet old soul ties. And,
I've heard many stories
it's
about
it. It's majestic. It's majestic. And then when you're there and you start realizing the intricacy and the beauty, I had it happen once where I was doing photography and my photographs disappeared for a day. Because if you take your camera into a really freshly charged circle, it somehow neutralizes the electronics that we use. But you mentioned the beauty of the circle. So we have Steve Alexander in Britain to thank for those photographs. He is a photographer. And he was a photographer doing other stuff before the crop circles, and he goes up every year, spends, you know, a lot of money but he's a professional photographer. The difference is that other photographs, maybe on crop circle connector, you might get a drone taking the photograph or whatever. He's a professional photographer. So those are all, you see the crop circles in relationship to the beautiful British landscape and how they're put in like feng shui at the, just the right point to accent, you know, the grid lines and the beauty of the landscape.
Their compositions in themselves are just, I mean, they're phenomenal. Not, and I understand that crop circles, well, definitely people that have been in them, there's a magical energy, and there's, and I've heard many stories about even people that have seen orbs going over the field creating the crop circles and photographed that process. And there's really some amazing stuff going on that is, of course, kind of blacked out in the mainstream media like it isn't happening. But at the same time, I've been following the understanding that just looking at the images, since we live in a holographic universe and it's all connected to the, you know, the fractal order of the holographic universe, that the geometry and the patterns and even the evolution of crop circles from simple geometric forms, you know, in the, when they first started appearing, to more and more complex, to very sophisticated messaging of all kinds of messages. Some are objective, and that you can, and you've decoded them, some of the more objective aspects of it on the back of your cards, and some of the, you know, the references and orientation to the crop circle. But at the same time, there's holographically, unconsciously, there's a resonance and a messaging that's going on. You know, that basically frames is a frame of reference for, you might say, the order of the universe in a very unique form that has its has a message. And I've been just fascinated with you know, the story of the crop circles, and I appreciate you sharing you know, these experiences. I'd like to go into more of this understanding that you bring to the crop circle cards with Kabbalah and the ancient mysteries of Kabbalah, or Kabbalah, I guess you say, and the understanding that there is a divine order that goes back to the beginning of conscious evolution, you might say, in the planes of matter. And I'm fascinated with this whole subject of Kabbalah. There's mystical Judaic Kabbalah. There's Christian Kabbalah. There's different references to this around the world in different cultures. They frame, you know, the kind of the same universal principles in different ways. And
Let me say that my roots in Kabbalah are certainly in the Hebrew Kabbalah, because Kabbalah is rooted in the Hebrew language.
Yeah.
Christian Kabbalah, magical Kabbalah, and some sacred geometry stuff really takes it quite far away and is a bit of a phantasmagoria for me.
Uh-huh.
So when I was a child, I learned the Hebrew alphabet, and I'd probably been a rabbi a few times in past lives. It's not that I haven't explored other traditions. I was also in the Sufi order as well. With Pir Vilayat Khan. So the essence of Kabbalah has to do with what you could call harmonic or vibrational coding.
Uh-huh.
And each of the Hebrew letters is like a physics concept or a mathematical formula. So there's a whole aspect of Kabbalah which is called gematria, which is number mysticism. So when I was doing the cards, my job was to kind of bridge those two. So when you get to, say, card 52, it's not just a playing card deck. 52 is a magical number. It's the number of the Hebrew prophet Eliyahu, who ascends in a, you know, in a spiral vortex. It's also the number of Urakocha and a few other ascended masters, the Huti and Egyptian. So there's a universal language of harmonics.
Uh-huh.
Creative harmonics, and then number symbolism is tied into sound vibration and frequency and tone. So that is preformative to the physical universe we live in. So in a certain sense, the whole crop circle agenda is to let humans and there's a few agendas. I call it acupuncture for the earth grid, meaning that Wiltshire is like the ear of the earth, and you're putting in energies. And if there's crop circles around Silbury Hill, it's a direct contact to the Giza Pyramid and the whole Earth crystal grid. And, of course, crop circles are all over the Earth, but Britain was, the UK and Albion, as Blake called it, was really the starting point for the whole agenda, we'll say.
Now, I've wondered about
so the
that.
Number mysticism, you know, there's actually 88 cards in the deck now. I might even add a couple more from last year. Because I don't get a choice on this. It's like a passion. I have to do it. And I haven't even given you the little reading yet. That might be fun if we could, you know, pull a number out, and then people could hear a bit about the card that way. So it's just a fascinating link-up for me of all of the things I've worked with. Earth grid work, harmonics, gematria, different codes, and, you know, you're familiar with some, but, you know, I put out a couple books on codes of the Kabbalah, and there's codes connected to sacred geometry, where you get Metatron's cube, the flower of life, the tree of life, the star of David, the heptagon, the enneagram, all of it. There are sonic codes. There are harmonics and vowel grids in the Kabbalah that are the most potent for sound healing. And there's all sorts of codes just connected with the Tree of Life, the 10 spheres, the 22 pathways, what they're connecting in psychology and energy within the human being.
The chakras,
yeah. The chakras. So it's very intricate. You can't say that it isn't. It's a universal teachings on consciousness. And there's been other masters who weren't Hebrew, like... Pranic Eating Master was deeply interested in the Kabbalah, and the Sufis have a branch of the Kabbalah which is more bioenergetic in terms of trance dance and sound. So it's a big world, and it's way more than just the geometry. Geometry is one level of it. You know, it's just like a human being. We have lots of senses, sound, we have light, we have aromatherapy is also part of Kabbalah. Really?
What I found amazing about Kabbalah is just the law of correspondence, as you referred to. There were so many correspondence, frequency and form, sound and light, and different frames of reference, and how they correspond on multiple levels. You know, it's basically holographic, as I understand it.
It is holographic. You got it with that. And for me, I've been doing Kabbalistic astrology for years. It took me 30 years to write one epic poem. Six lines for each degree of the zodiac using star lore, number mysticism,
wow,
personal anecdote, whatever. But I was a student of Dane Ridjar many years ago, who put transpersonal astrology on the map. And
yeah.
I studied with Charles Harvey and John Addy, harmonic astrology, looking at micro-aspecting. But ultimately, I had to realize that the Tree of Life was important, the position of the planets are important, and now I've got, a toolkit, a book, an oracle that I can use that brings in all of my reference points to the astrology, and as it happens, it ends up quite useful for soul readings.
Wow.
I take on these big projects, and I don't know what I'm getting into, and it takes me years to do them, and you know, I'm partially a hermit and partially a world traveler.
Yeah, you've done some amazing tours around the world. I'm going to go into that a little bit more. I'm going to give a little station break here for those who came into the show later. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love on BBS Internet Radio, now streaming in 60 countries worldwide, and I'm interviewing Joseph Mark Cohen, who is an expert on crop circles, sacred geometry, Kabbalistic astrology, and the cosmic codes that connect the dots between the ancient and modern mysteries governing conscious evolution in spirit and matter, on Earth as in cosmos at large. Joseph Mark is one of those intrepid pioneers into the final frontier of inner space, and he unveils many of the discoveries with his Crop Circle Oracle cards, his Tree of Life School at treeoflifeschool.com, and through mystery seminars and travel tours that he leads to sacred sites worldwide. Joseph, I noticed that you have inspired music of different kinds in the background of your website at treeoflifeschool.com. Could you tell us about your Tree of Life School and coming events with seminars and sacred site tours?
Sure. Well, as far as the crop circles go, I do one tour for a very small group of people that goes to Stephen Karen's conference. I think it's the first weekend in August this year, and then the weekend before that is a wonderful conference in Glastonbury, the Glastonbury Symposium. And people go to my website. I actually posted, an hour-long seminar that I did on the crop circles there 2-3 years ago. So that's posted at treeoflifeschool.com. And as far as music goes, I used to have a group called the Ocarina Orchestra playing bird whistles, taking people into the jungle. And this year I'm going to do a children's camp, probably between... Oh, when the sun conjuncts Sirius, around the time of Canada's birthday and America's birthday, so early July, July 1st to 5th. So if Americans want to get out of the traffic jam and up to Canada where it's a little more sane.
Well, let me know when you're heading over to the Bosnian pyramids. I've been reading about those. They're bigger and older than Egyptian skis, the pyramids, and the subjects covered up like crop circles are blacked out.
Now, which ones are those? This is the ones in, which ones do you want to go to?
In Bosnia.
Bosnia, yeah.
Giant pyramids. They're a third bigger than Egypt's Giza pyramids, and they're much older. They're like, they figure they're about 28,000 years old.
Yeah, no, Osmanovich, I've read all of the material on it. I haven't been there yet. I went to Yugoslavia years ago, The Dragoria, and it's an interesting part of the Earth. And I have some friends who understand a little bit about the star system that work with those pyramids. A much different function than the Giza ones, different star group, too.
Uh-huh.
So, I was interested in Flanagan's work years ago. And actually,
yeah, me too.
In 75.
I went to his pyramid, his circular pyramid geometry posters.
Yeah, and I had made a pyramid, out of wood and linked it together with copper wire. I can't believe it. I took it on an airplane over to Israel and I had it set up in a place called Rosh Pina where I was living. And, I've got a novel to publish about that, the trip to Israel and the Kabbalah teacher and stuff, but I forgot about the little pyramid. Maybe I better get it back in the manuscript. But the Giza pyramid, I guess I've done about a dozen trips. It started in 79, and the first trip I went to Egypt, I was told I was, Akhenaten's astrologer in the past life by a channel in Sedona, and it was the first trip I ever took. I guided 4 people. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Did you get to lay in the sarcophagus?
Yes. And I had a wonderful guide. He's passed on now, Abdul Hakim Aiwan. And if people go to the Egypt gallery of my website, you'll see some beautiful photographs of Hakim, listen to the beautiful music of Hamza el-Din. And at the very bottom, and there's a wonderful reading list of 10 or 12 books you should read, including one by Charles Muses, who was a teacher of mine, Museos. And at the very end, I've put one chapter from my soon-to-be-published novel so people can listen to the music and read a chapter of the novel that takes place in Egypt, too. The website is an archive of work. It's not just an advertisement for stuff that I'm trying to sell.
Now, this is treeoflifeschool.com.
School.com, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, where I'm coming from in all of this sacred geometry, I bring into the Cosmic Love show on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, the sacred geometry is a frame of reference for cosmic law, or the law of the angles of G-O-D, which is an acronym for geometric ordered divinity, or the fractal, you know, order of the holographic universe, as I refer to it.
Rudy, you're a master of anagrams.
Well, yeah, I worked at it.
Brilliant.
how to decode the codes, and as I understand it, this is the divine order in the universe that corresponds to harmonics with different frequencies of sound and light that defines what I refer to as the harmonic language of the angels, or a unified field of unconditional love as a frequency of heart-coherent grace at the heart of wholeness, holiness, and all holistic healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. That's the kind of stuff I get off on as far as trying to connect the dots to, you know, this law of correspondence and frequency and form, spirit and matter, you know, the masculine and the feminine, you know, and all these dimensions of that, you know, this, I mean, here we are, you know, these great cosmic beings from spiritual realms incarnating into this dense 3D animal body. Trying to make sense.
Some advantages, eh?
Trying to make sense of it all, you know? And so that's kind of the theme of cosmic love. That I'm really grateful I'm having you on the show, because you got an amazing perspective. And I really think, you know, it's worthy of everyone's attention to check out, you know, your website and where you've gone and what you've done. And I highly encourage those who are interested in these holographic glyphs, I call them, these crop circles.
That's a nice word, holograph glyphs. I like it.
Yeah.
like hall of record? Hall of glyphs.
Hologlyphs. Mm-hmm. Holographic, you know, for the holodeck between your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, you know, consciousness ain't the brain. It's just like it's a field. It's an energy field that ties into the galactic, you know, the collective holodeck, you know, the hall of records, the holodeck, however you want to refer to the mind of God. Some people refer to it, but these are, you know, the mysteries unveiled really has everything to do with this corresponding frame of reference, you know, framing of basically the order of the universe. Some people refer to the fractal, spiritual geometry, geometric order, divinity, and I mean, it's all in divine order. And this part of our test is basically to align with or attune to, you know, divinity in frequency and form and spirit and matter. And you've really done an excellent, I mean, extraordinary job. And I'd like to reference also that you are a Kabbalistic or Kabbalistic astrologer, and you do work with, it's a different form of, now you say there's a different forms of astrology. There's a conventional sidereal and now Kabbalistic astrology. How is that different?
Well, I work in Western astrology. I'm not a Vedic, but I have the unique template of the Tree of Life to take the planets and place them in the spheres of the tree and get an in-depth psychological evolutionary perspective from that.
Oh.
And, you know, my bias is still a little bit towards transpersonal in terms of the transformational energy of the outer planets. But I'm working with a core mythology from the Tree of Life and a mapping and working in a much greater detail in terms of the angular relationship between planets. So that's Kabbalistic. But I wanted to share something, because you said you were interested in pyramids in Egypt.
Yeah.
And you know Edgar Cayce and that whole work suggests that there is a hall of records underneath the Giza Plateau and not so far from the Sphinx. Good fortune to go and meditate between the paws of the Sphinx. Costs a bit of money, but it's a tour you can get from the Egyptian government before the regular tourists get to be there in the early morning, and being in the paws of the Sphinx before sunrise, and costs a lot of money to get the King's Chamber to yourself for a small group, but it's well worth it, because the sonics in the chamber, I learned a lot. about harmonics in the Giza Chamber. Paul Horn discovered that too, who's crossed over recently, but there's a certain frequency of 432 cycles per second that is, and there's a whole group movement in music to switch middle A, back to 432 and retune, recalibrate instruments, because all of our Western music's based on just tuning for pianos, that sort of thing.
You mean the solfeggio frequencies?
Well, the solfeggio, as far as I can tell, and I did read the whole book about it at one point, was a variant of frequencies that came out of Egypt and Hebrew sound.
Interesting.
And they're interesting, but I think people have made a little bit too much of them, you know, to take one note. And who was it? He's in Hawaii, and he was marketing it as that one note as the frequency of cosmic love. Well, I looked it up.
Oh, 528, yeah.
Yeah, 528. And I looked it up in Hebrew, and basically it does mean key. It means mizbeach in Hebrew, but in the gematria, but I'm not sure that it's really cosmic love. I think that was a little bit of finagling there with it. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, you know. So it's, I have to deal with the level of precision with what I do. You know, it's like, you know, like an optometrist or somebody who's more like gem cutting. That's the way Rumi would call it. Like, you've got to have very precise angles and know exactly the mathematical codes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people take one number and promote it as if that one number was God. It's an interesting frequency that carries something, but it's the... Anyway,
no,
here's the story. I was in Abbey the very first time. I was in my mid-20s or something, maybe. And I was with a musician friend who was very gifted. We went through a series of seven little chambers in the temple of Abydos.
Uh-huh.
In each one of them, we found the note. We got to the fifth one, and we woke up a sleeping bat that was in the roof. And I really felt like, wow, this is a body chakra attunement like none other. Then I got to the room that was for Seti I, which was the creator of that temple. I went to open my mouth to chant, and nothing would come out.
Really?
Kind of spooked. And then about 30 seconds later, I had the kundalini energy go right up my spine, over my head, and I could feel the cobra, like I understood what the cobra was about.
Wow.
And I was just astonished. I was wondering whether I was ever going to speak again. It was startling. But I did have to speak again. I went outside, and somebody from our tour was yelling, Joseph Mark, the taxi's going to leave. And I'm in an altered state, and I look back, and I said, let it leave. We'll get another. So I'm very kind to people on tours, knowing that they're going through very deep inner experiences, and they need to be cleansed sometimes. And you got to make sure that all the camels stay together. But you still have to understand that camels will roam and have their unique experiences.
Well, I've heard the Abydos Temple really is amazing, and that there are so many focuses and revelations that are just still coming out on the different pyramids and energy centers. And
a lot of people are frightened to go to Egypt now because of the revolution and the politics, but sometimes for tourists, that means that you get temples to yourself a lot longer.
Actually, I've had some friends that just went recently, and they didn't have any problem at all. They had a wonderful experience. So.
No, I think it's rare.
Yeah.
The problems are, you know, political, economic, in big cities right now on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated with a lot of dimensions of your work. I have followed the work of Dan Winter over the years, and he ties all these frequency codes back into and basically universal language codes back into the ancient Hebrew characters, ancient Hebrew glyphs, and how it's like a decoding, again, back to corresponding to the Kabbalah and going way back even before Sanskrit, you know, there like an original coding of of actually energy and frequency in form that, you know, references, you might say, the spirit of the form, or the, you know, the energy of the form. And there's a lot of different laws of correspondence. I know in Christian mysticism, the tree of life has a very special meaning as far as your higher I am presence. Mm-hmm. You know, the upper figures in the chart, and in the Kabbalah, you know, those upper spheres, and it, as it relates to your heart center, you know, and the lower energy spheres, chakras, and how this all ties together to me has always been really fascinating. And to me, it's like a way of tying into source code. You know, when I say source code, yeah, it's like source language, the language of the angles, the law of the language of the angels, the law of the angles, you know, and how it's all has a frames of reference, you know, that are really speak to a universal language, and universal, you know, universal laws, universal language, source code, and so your work is phenomenal in an integrative sense. And I mean, I have to say that I've gone over these cards and the accounts on the back, and through your website, I've got more. It's actually, for me, it's been a great research source, because I've been into, you know, the understanding of, you know, how it's all connected. You know, there's universal order, and I've seen so much of it, you know, that you have worked with and integrated, you know, far beyond what a lot of people even considered. You know, who, well, I'm looking, yeah.
Yeah, my sense is, honestly, that I've had Arcturian guidance to do the crop circle deck. You know, it was a project that it took me 2 years to do it. I needed help with the layout and the print. I wanted to print in Canada, not China. And honestly, I would, you know, I might be delusional, but I personally feel that the crop circle oracle cards will be the tarot for these new kids coming in.
Oh, for Star Kids.
You know, the Star Kids, because the tarot up till now, and I wrote a book on the tarot as how it's rooted in the 22 initiations in Egypt and Kabbalah and this and that. I was very interested in the tarot for quite some time, but I see the way it's used, and it goes into the personal shadow and sexuality and money, and it's appealing to the ego. People,
yeah.
I mean, they have growth, but the crop circle cards are to allow us to raise our frequencies to fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional consciousness.
Oh, yeah, they're appealing to source code.
Just by meditating on the cards, people will get a creativity upgrade and a hemispheric bridging between left and right brain hemisphere.
I believe that. Yeah.
So they're bioenergetic in some way.
They're bioenergetic, yeah.
Yeah.
Biomimicry, they now know that a form and frequency are inseparable, and that's what the code is there, and it's and I was my first response when I got the deck was, you know, I just went through each one and I just kind of flash cards, you know, for kids, you know, when they're learning numbers or learning words, you know, you have flashcards. I just did a flashcard sequence real bit. I was just like, my circuits were really overamped doing like a flashcard thing with the cards, you know, to, you know, like speed reading. And of course, I understand that, you know, the playing cards are based on the original tarot deck, as far as the 54 card and the four suits of the cards. And it's really based on the four archetypes. You know, Jung refers to this. Modern psychology is based on this understanding of these, you know, the ancient and modern maps of consciousness that all follow these four archetypal, you know, the Native Americans call it four winds, you know, the four directions, the four archetypes that are in, you know, the four beasts and revelations. You know, I mean, it's just like it's systemic through all ancient and modern maps of consciousness. And what you've done, you've organized it in a way so that source code plays out, and you can play with source code. So basically, you can align with Source in all kinds of unique ways, and I think, you know, that's of course the game of life is the most two most important things. I think Mark Twain said is when you were born and then when you figure out why.
Hey, well, look at it. If we can figure out how to take the crop circle card deck and turn it into a board game so we can, like, bump Monopoly off of the board, let's do it. Come on.
Yeah. It definitely would have to be a co-creation game.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if people are interested in the Kabbalah, I probably have a couple of workshops coming up. I'm advertising one in the island of Gozo, which is the home of the goddess, and that's in May 17th to 24th, something like that. And then I do them at my Crystal Dome retreat up here in British Columbia off of Lake Kootenay.
That's up near Vancouver.
No, it's really north, about 3-4 hours north of Spokane, Washington. It's BC. So we're not that far away.
That's a beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area, and I can see the lake through the trees, and there are two or three hot springs nearby, and I've got a series of glacial waterfalls on my property. So
I would love to come.
Quite
up
wonderful,
one of those.
And my home's an acoustic temple. I spend, if I'm not traveling in the winter, I'm playing piano.
Because
I live in a Bucky Fuller geodesic. A Bucky Dome, and I met him in 79 when I was working on the World Symposium Conference and went into Expo 67 before.
Yeah, I was there in his dome. I lectured at his World Game Studies workshop in University of Pennsylvania back in 76. No, it was 74. It was summer of 74 for a month I was there.
Too bad you didn't hop aboard my trip to Israel in 75. Anyway, I went around doing a mantra that went, I want to live in one of these. I want to live in one of these. And it took me like 40 years to find the one that I wanted to live in.
Oh, that's great.
And it's an acoustic temple, and it's a top hat dome, meaning that it starts at 6-7 feet, so you don't feel squashed where the dome comes down.
And you have seminars there.
Yeah. Yeah, I do
seminars
and retreats. I can do groups, small groups, like 8-10 people.
Uh-huh.
And with camping, I can do more. And I probably will build a theater this year for outdoors work. So and children's camps is something that I'm heading for.
Oh, that'd be great. I've been wanting to do children's camps out here in Montana for some time here.
We should. The kids are so inspiring these days.
Yeah, well, I am so grateful I had you on the show today and give people a taste of what you're doing. And so thank you, Joseph Mark, for being
My
with
pleasure.
Us today. And I'm going to have to do a wrap here. So I want to also thank Don in the studio for bringing us all together. And to our listeners, keep the faith, see the good, and make it so. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, Look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.